Thanks so much for listening today. We hope that through this message, you are being filled with the grace and hope found in the person of Jesus Christ. If this message and ministry has made an impact on you in any way, be sure to let us know about it by emailing us at mystory@thefuelchurch.com. And even if you couldn't be here in person, be sure to check in with us on Instagram and Facebook to let us and others know that you are listening and growing with us here at Fuel Church. Every month, through these check-ins, we are making a global difference. Now, let's jump into this week's message.
All right, are we ready? Come on, Tara, get up here. This is my better half. This is my wife, Tara Lynn Burgai. Give it up for her. All right. You're short? Well, you've always been short, babe. I still love you, though. Good things come in small packages. I so appreciate her. A lot of what you see at this church and a lot of what you see come out of me is because I have a wife who has stood beside me and supported me in the good, the bad, and the ugly of my life. And she's my biggest cheerleader. And she's really the greatest Christian that I've ever met in my life. And I truly mean that. Amen? I mean that. And so I'm so glad to have her up here tonight. And we're going to attempt to answer some questions, some tough ones in here. Man, you guys are good. The first question, I just have to hit this first. What kind of prayers do you pray when 10 Amazon packages show up at your door every day? Because your wife is addicted to Amazon Prime. Who sent that one in? Who sent that in? Oh, it was me.
I'm not answering that one.
You're not answering it?
No.
Okay. Well, it's true, y'all. Pray for me. Amen? All right. Let's get going here. Our first question is, how can you overcome fear and anxiety when it consistently is in the back of your mind? I've prayed and asked God for peace, but it's still not coming. It consumes my life. Tara, I'm going to let you start on that.
Yeah, anxiety is a real thing. I know so many people deal with it and sometimes are ashamed to talk about it. I've dealt with anxiety. I still deal with anxiety at times. Sometimes it's not something that goes completely away, but just like everybody knows, the enemy has a way of pushing your buttons in different ways in your life. And if anxiety is one of your things, the enemy's always going to be knocking at your door. There's always stressors in our lives. We live in this world that's full of chaos and stress, and we live in a world that's very fear-driven. And I think the one thing that I have learned to do is find out what those triggers are and the things that cause me to feel anxious, and then what to do when I do get those feelings. You have to have some kind of a game plan to know to put into action when the enemy comes. You can't wait till he gets to your door because it's too late. And so then you're going to spiral downward, and it's just going to affect the whole rest of your life, your home life, your marriage, your workplace, everything, your finances. There's a lot of financial anxiety people have. And I know that's something that I've dealt with, is even anxiety with finances over years before. And I've just had to learn to trust in God. I think that's the biggest thing, is knowing scriptures. And I just highlighted two scriptures that I use on a regular basis. And there's been times when I have posted these on, like, note cards, or put them in different places, you know, just so that I can see them and I can read them on a daily basis, because there's certain times in your life when you have to cover yourself more with the word and pour into yourself more spiritually, when the enemy is knocking harder and louder in your life. And when it's in your mind, it's hard to let it go sometimes. But there is power in the scripture. There's a power in the word of God. And sometimes you have to speak these things out loud, because there's power in your words. You could know the word, but you have to speak it over yourself. It talks about David encouraged himself in the Lord. And there's some days there ain't nobody else there. When you're about to have a panic attack, when you're gripped by fear, when you're afraid of things, sometimes our minds create circumstances that haven't even happened yet. Sometimes I would get so fearful of the future, thinking about stuff, that I would create this whole other thing. And I'm like, why am I so anxious? This hasn't even happened yet. And I'm already thinking the worst thing about it. And, you know, we can feel overwhelmed and two of the scriptures that always I hang on to is Proverbs 12:25, and it says, heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. And that's why I'm saying the word of God is something that you can stand on, that he can bring you peace. All you have to do is speak the name of Jesus, and he will be your peace. And sometimes you just have to quiet your soul, quiet yourself, shut off everything else. I've created like prayer, or like almost like a prayer, like worship, worship list that I listen to when I start to feel fearful or anxiety. I listen to that because it's songs about peace, like it is well with my soul. There's just so many things that, you know what, music has a spirit behind it, and it can soothe your soul. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything. God, I just need you. And you just have to quiet yourself and trust that God is with you and just take it one step at a time. And another scripture that I have is Philippians 4:6-7. It says, be careful for nothing or anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I think that's so important because it says be anxious for nothing, and then the very first thing it says, by prayer. Amen. So you have to pray. God can't help you if you don't call on him. And you have to pray, and I think that's one thing that, you know, I've had to learn, is just to trust in God, to quiet my soul and know that God can give me peace. Nothing is too great for my God, and nothing is too big for me to be able to conquer with him on my side.
Yeah.
So
that's good. That's good. Amen. I love that scripture you read, Tara, because if you read that and you keep going down, it says, be anxious for nothing, everything by prayer, supplication, make your requests known to man, to God rather. And, you know, what that tells us is, number one, prayer is the key. Number two, God's not scared of your anxiety. It says, make your requests known. And it's talking about anxiety. Actually, the Bible says a lot about anxiety. It has a lot to say about it. And it says, when you do this, then, when you what? When you pray and let God know that you're anxious, that you're dealing with fear and stress, when you're real with God, then the peace of God, what? The peace of God, which passeth all your understanding. So it goes past what you're thinking. You hear that? It will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. But wait, listen to verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue in them, think on these things. What is he saying? He's saying, hey, you got to change your mind. You got to get rid of stinking thinking. Now, let me submit this to you, because I see a lot of people that deal with fear and anxiety, and they watch horror movies all the time. No. I know you're laughing, but I'm being serious. You wonder why. Like, I don't allow that stuff into my house. I won't watch it. I know my wife has had a history with anxiety and stress. I don't want my kids seeing that stuff. I mean, Chucky still freaks me out. I've never watched the movie. I just heard of it and seen the crazy commercials. And nowadays, the commercials alone are enough to scare me. So what is he saying? Paul's saying, hey, get rid of that stuff. The music, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever, get rid of the movies that are causing you to fear and causing you to be anxious. You're watching movies that have serial killers in them, and you're freaking out at 3 a.m. thinking someone's going to break in and kill your family when it's just the dog down the road got into your trash. You know what I mean? But you're on edge because of whatsoever you listen to, whatsoever you watch goes into your mind. He said, hey, you got to change that. Think on these things that are pure, that are good, that are of good report. So ask yourself, the movies, the music, the TV that I'm watching, is it of good report? Is it pure? Is it lovely? And I think you could answer that question very honestly and say a lot of it isn't. And that's why you're dealing with that anxiety and those high levels of fear. You know, we don't let our kids watch movies like that. We don't let them watch rated R movies or PG-13 movies. I don't care if they're 13. They're still not watching a PG-13 movie. I mean, you got to guard that stuff. But if you're watching it and they're in the room, then what good is that? You know what I mean? And so I'm not going to get on a tangent about movies and stuff, but I'm just saying a lot of what we deal with is because of what we watch.
Yeah, and I want to add to that, too. It is so true, like, what you put in yourself can trigger your anxiety and make it worse. And so you have to guard yourself if you're a person who feels anxious and fearful. And you have to watch who you let around you and who you talk into your life, because there are some people that you may talk to that all they're doing is seeing the negative side of everything, and they're just spewing this negativity and just this fearfulness, and you walk away almost feeling like, oh my gosh, like, you know, you start feeling like anxiety and stressed out from their conversation. You shouldn't feel that way when you walk away from someone. Get around people who can uplift you. He can encourage you and say, hey, no matter what it looks like, we're going to believe God. I'm standing believe in God with you, and this is not going to overtake you, and you're going to be fine. You're going to get through this no matter what happens. Like Pastor Jacob has said, the storm can be going on around all around you, but unless you let it get inside of you, it doesn't have to get in you. You can keep walking through the storm, you know, and hang on to that anchor, like he said tonight. Hold on to that rope. Some of you have rope burn, like he said. Some of you may have some slivers in your hands from the rope, you know, but just hang on, because God is there. And I know even one thing for me, and this sounds so silly, is even watching the news, like for me, because our world is so crazy, you just hear about so many things that are just so like horrible that happen. And I know when I would start listening, and this is just for myself, things like that, that I would literally be standing there watching my kids walk to the bus stop at times, and I would start having a panic attack.
Yeah.
And I'm just being honest, thinking, oh my gosh, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? And it was literally like one day I was standing there looking out the front door, and it was dark out, and one of my kids was walking to the bus, and the Holy Spirit was like, just stop. And I was like, what? And he was like, just stop. He was like, do you not think that I care more for your child than you care for them? They are my child first before they were yours. Do you not know you pray over your children and you have to trust me? And God was just like, just be at peace and trust me. Just let it go. I've got them. And I was like, thank you, Holy Spirit, you know? And from that day forward, it really set me free from that, you know, sometimes we get ourselves so worked up, and the Holy Spirit was like, don't you trust me? I got them. They're in my hand. God loves our kids, loves our families, loves everything in our lives, and loves us more than anything. And we have to learn to trust him. I think trusting God is one of the hardest things, but easy to say.
Yeah, that's good. Good. Let's go move on to the second question. We got a lot of questions.
Okay, the second question is regarding a marriage question. It says, I'm wondering how to encourage leadership with my husband toward my family without being a nag. Maybe they're involved in leadership at the church and at work, but when it comes to home, they want them to step up a little bit more, be more involved at home in leadership. So what would your insight be on something like that?
Good question. Being a nag never works. Wives, she's right. She's saying, I don't want to be a nag, and that's right. How does she encourage her husband to step up at the home? I would say that few things. Number one, wives, you're not your husband's Holy Spirit. There's one Holy Spirit. And yes, encourage your husbands, but when you try to force God on them or church, it really drives people away. And so, yes, you encourage them, you believe God, that maybe if your spouse isn't saved or whatever the case is, you encourage them, pray with them, but don't force it down them. Let the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will draw men and women to the Father. And so we got to trust that. Love conquers everything. 1 Corinthians 13, love bears all things, love is patient. Love is kind, and the greatest of these is love. And so I always go back to that. Love that individual, just love them and encourage them. And I'll say this for an example of stepping up at home. Probably for the first, I don't know, Tara, you probably know better than me how many years I failed as a father or as a husband, but. It was at least the first 5, 7, 8 years. Some of you are like 20 years, though. Still failing.
Sometimes, men, they don't get it.
So, you know? I would come home from work, and, man, I'm heading, man, the couch. Yo, that's my destination. Like, I'm chilling. I worked, and Betty Crocker in there serving up a meal and taking care of the kids and all this stuff. And I remember one day specifically, I was like, hey, can you get me something to drink? Oh, snap. And she snapped on me. Like, it wasn't this, like, cute, godly Tara that you see. Like, the devil got in her. I'm just kidding. But she was like, you can get up and get it yourself. Oh, shots fired. It's going to be like that. Okay. I'm not eating your chicken.
Now, I will serve you at times, too, so don't make it sound like
I'm telling
like
a story.
Do.
I'm telling a story. You'll redeem yourself in the end, babe.
He always throws me under the bus. Even on Sundays, I'm like, oh, my gosh.
And I remember us having a conversation, though, and you were like, hey, you know, could you help out around the house when you come home instead of chilling on the couch, watching movies or ESPN or whatever? I'm like, well, yeah, never thought of that. Ladies, guys, we're just ignorant when it comes to this stuff. I mean, we honestly, we don't do it intentionally all the time. But I didn't know, and she was like, hey, it would really help me if you could help with the dishes, help, you know, clean the house, help, you know, with the kids and things like that. And, you know, once she said that, I was like, yeah, I was just clueless, though. Like, oh, she needs my help? I just thought, no, she's good. Like, she's good, but she wasn't. And so that kind of triggered something in me to step up. And just example, you know, she's gone every Tuesday night and Wednesday night. She has practice for the band. And then Wednesday night, she has small group. So me and the kids, the house is clean when she comes home. The dishes are done. Daddy done took care of dinner. Chick-fil-A.
I trained him well, folks.
Just being honest. And the house is clean. The kids is... rooms are clean, they're showered. When she comes home, she's coming home to a place that she's put in a 12-hour day, and she's like, you know, I don't want her to come home and the dishes be in there, you know? So we make sure all that's done for her. Now, I wasn't always like that.
Yeah, and I think that's very important because, you know, especially some of you that are in leadership, you know, we've had to learn this too, even at church, because that's our passion. We love God. We want to serve. And sometimes your spouse is not always on the same page that you're at. Maybe they're not quite there yet at wanting to step into leadership. And I think it's just a communication thing, understanding each other, but not quenching the spirit of your spouse who does feel that they're at a place where they want to serve and use their gifts and talents for God. But you also have to prioritize and balance your family life and church as well. We don't want you to get burnt out. We don't want your family life to be, you know, lacking because of serving or taking on too many responsibilities. Or maybe it's just you saying, hey, you want to serve with me? Let's do something together. Like, do it together as a married couple, as a family. And I think that's important with that home is, I think sometimes, at least I feel like as women, we expect sometimes them to read our minds as our spouses and husbands. And they honestly just, they don't think about it. They don't even know sometimes. And sometimes it was just being honest, saying like, I would usually, when we first got married, not say anything. And then it would just fester and fester and fester. And I'd be like slamming the door to the washer, you know, being like, run around here, but sitting on the couch. Nobody sees I need work done, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Don't even act like y'all ain't done it before, because y'all are lying.
They just did it before they came to church.
And you're like talking under your breath, like kind of loud, you know, like this. And you're like hoping somebody hears you and it's like comes to your rescue, you know. And it was to the point where I was just like, you know what? We just need to talk about this, you know. And I was like, hey, like I need you. Like right now in the season of my life, I'm really busy, busier than normal. And so it's pulling away from me from home. I need you, you know, I need your help. Like we're in this together. You know, there's seasons that you're busier and you need me, I need you. Like, let's do this together, because like when you help each other, you know, it shows that you care and you're concerned for one another. You're in life together, especially
parenting
as spouses.
Parenting,
you know?
Is two people contributing.
Yeah.
Not one.
Right.
In the home. Two people contributing. Yeah. And so... guys, you got to step up. Ladies, step up. And, yeah. And you know, for this lady who asked the question, I would encourage you this. Celebrate the small victories with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He takes the trash out without you asking. Celebrate him.
Or if he loads the dishwasher the wrong way, don't say nothing. Just be like, thank you, God, it's loaded. That's all you say.
Listen. When you do those things, great things happen at 9:30 at night. tell the truth and shame the devil up in here. I'll have revival up in here. Fireworks go off. Now, when you don't do those things, there's no fireworks. It's a dud. But anyway, that's a February series. But celebrate the small victories that he does and have that conversation with him in a moment where he's at a good place. Hey, would you mind helping around here? Like, I got a lot going on. It would really help if once a week or twice a week you did this and you got the basket with the 100 pair of socks that don't match out. Come on now. And you help fold laundry or something like that.
Yeah, if your kids are old enough, get it involved and do it like as a family, you know? Like, hey, we're all going to help just clean up the kitchen. You know, he'll say, Mom cooked a meal. Let's all just pitch in. You do this. I'll go over here and do this. We just do it together. And it gets done so much quicker, and everybody's happy, and everybody helps. Well, the kids aren't happy, but we're all happy.
Kids are never happy to do chores. I don't know. My kids aren't. But are you guys enjoying this so far? Is this all right? Cool. We're going to keep it moving. Tara, I'm asking this one. Here we go. I was hurt by my father when I was young. Mostly because he was never around and never had any interest in me or even cared to. I have trouble forgiving him. I actually don't want to. How can I forgive someone who has brought nothing but hurt into my life? Wow.
I think that's a good question, and I think it's a tough thing because when you've been hurt so deep by someone, specifically like your mother or your father or someone that's close to you in your family, that hurt goes extremely deep, and it's hard sometimes to uproot that because sometimes as our human nature goes, we tend to bury things. We tend to push it down. We don't want to address it because it's things that it hurts us. It's almost like, you know, ripping off a Band-Aid every single time we look at it. But one thing I know that, you know, I've been hurt in the past by a lot of things and people in my family, and God has restored things. But, you know, there was a season where, you know, I was extremely hurt, and I had to learn that I had to let it go. And it's the hardest thing to do. It's not easy to do. It's easy to say. But I had to ask myself, like, why am I holding on to this? It is toxic for me. It's not making my life any better. It's not making my walk with God any better. This is the one thing I can't get over. And if you have been someone that's been either abandoned by, you know, your mother or your father, you feel rejected. And I think that's the biggest thing, is feeling a rejection, and that hurts severely. But you have to know that you're accepted by God no matter what. Because no matter, even if your father hurt you, didn't want anything to do with you, you know what? He's missing out. And you know what? You have to just release that, because one thing that happens is when you release it and you give it to God, not saying that the hurt always goes away, that hurt and that healing is a process. It's a process. And sometimes, you know, it'll resurface, and, you know, you have to deal with it. And the right way is to run to God and don't cover it up. Sometimes when we're so hurt, we don't want to let God in those places because it's hard to go through it. Sometimes we got to dig through some deep feelings that we have ourselves. And I think it's important for us. We have to open our whole heart in that area of our life to let God come in and let us know it's nothing that you did. Sometimes it's not anything you did. And sometimes, you know what? You're not going to get an I'm sorry. You're not going to get an apology from somebody, you know, and you just have to be the bigger person, and you just have to walk away and say, God, I release them to you, God. I don't know why, but I just thank you, Holy Spirit, and pray for them. Yeah. Pray for your father. Pray for whoever has hurt you. And I think that's one of the hardest things that I've had to learn in my Christian walk, is to pray for people that hurt you, because in all honesty, you don't want to pray for them. Let's just be honest. You know, our human nature wants to run and, you know, doesn't want to pray a blessing over somebody who hurt us. But when we do that, I've learned in my own self, it's allowed me in my heart to heal every time I pray for them. God, I don't understand. And God, this hurts me. And I think you just need to be real when you talk to God. This hurts, God. I feel rejected. But God, I know that you are there, and you can be more of a father than my natural father could ever be to me. And I've experienced a real love and acceptance that I've ever felt before in my life. And when you release yourself and let go of that person, because guess what? They're moving on with their life. You're the one that stands still. And you just keep resurfacing this hurt and this hurt. And until you let it go and you ask God to help you, and there are times when you need to go see, you know, I encourage people to go see a faith-based counselor, a Christian, because sometimes you need to go through some natural things in counseling to help you, you know, kind of peel back the layers of things that we're feeling and going on with, but also with the word of God and with your faith, because that's what's really going to carry you. And I think it's something that I've seen in my life. And, you know, we all face hurt as human beings in different shapes and forms and relationships. And it's usually by people that who are very close to us. And I think that's something that, you know, we have to just let God speak to their hearts and let God take care of it, you know, and make sure our hearts are right, because it will damage a lot of your relationships that you have now that are good in your life if you're not careful. So
someone say, I've been forgiven, so I can forgive. Watch this, the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. So, if you've been given grace, give grace. And I know what someone's thinking, but you don't know what they did to me. And maybe I don't know, but he does. And I would turn that around and say, you don't know what we did to him. All of the sin and sickness of humanity was nailed to that cross through the body of Jesus Christ. If anybody could have said, man, it's too much, I can't forgive him. If anybody could have walked away from the cross, he said, nevertheless, not my will. It's not what I want to do, but your will. Jesus could have. But he forgave us when we were at our dirtiest, when we were at our messiest, when we mocked him, when we turned our back on him, when we rejected him, when we hurt him, he forgave us. That's powerful. So when you hold on to unforgiveness, you become the prisoner. When you release unforgiveness, the prisoner gets set free. It's like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die when you hold on to unforgiveness. And so, I'm not saying it's easy. We've all had to forgive in different ways within our lives. And for this individual, it's I can't imagine that, because I had a father present. I had a mother present who raised me in a good home. But I can't imagine your father abandoning you, hurting you, and causing you pain, you know. I can't imagine that. But as Tara said, you have a heavenly father. And so you can't compare your earthly father with your heavenly father if your earthly father was like that. Because your heavenly father is a good father. He's a gracious father. He loves you. He's accepted you. And he knows the worst about you, but still loves you the best. No one loves you like your heavenly father. Knows every little detail about you, every little thought you've had that nobody knows. He knows it all and still loves you the same. Right. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. That's amazing grace. That amazes me. That amazes me that we have a God like that. And so just encourage you with that. It's hard, I know, but you can do it. You can do it, because there's people sitting out here that have done it. I know who you are. You've forgiven your father, your natural father, your mother, and you've released them. And let me just say this: just because you've forgiven them doesn't make the relationship back to the order it was. I can forgive somebody, but I don't need to allow them back into my life. I can love them from a distance. That doesn't mean, hey, we're good now. Come back in. You get all the relationship that we had before. No, I'm going to set up boundaries. You've got to set up boundaries. You can forgive and still set up boundaries. It's okay. You can, and that may be with family members, that may be with friends, whatever it may be. But you, and only you can set up those boundaries for you. You have to be the one to set them up.
Yeah, and just on the end of that, if you don't let go and forgive, even when forgiveness you feel like isn't deserved, our forgiveness is never deserved either. And the thing that I read today, it said, you know, when we don't forgive, it's almost like it restrains the Holy Spirit from moving in either person's life, because it kind of puts you at a standstill every time you think about this and you can't move past it. And then it's keeping the Holy Spirit from being able to work in their life because you haven't released them. You're still trying to be the judge and not letting God bring conviction on them and to soften their heart. And you have to release them to God and let the Holy Spirit do a work in them so that he can do a work in you. And I think that's something that you have to be careful of, because a root of bitterness will take seed in your heart, and then bitterness takes over your life, your health, your mindset, everything, and it can get a lot deeper if you're not careful. And so I think that's important, is just to release them to God, and you let God, you know, speak to their hearts.
Good. That answered the question, hopefully. All right, Tara, move on to that next one.
Okay, the next one is about salvation, and this is a good question. It says, is salvation an event or is it a process?
Wow. That's deep. That's deep. It's both. So let me break this down. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. First, I'm going to read this, Romans 10, 9, and 10. If you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, you are saved. You believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you are saved. Now, that word salvation, is the Greek word is sozo. Someone say sozo. It means redemption for your soul, healing for your body, and prosperity for your pocketbook. Does anybody need any sozo in your life? That God not only wants to save your soul, he wants to heal your body, but he wants you prosperous financially. That's that Greek word sozo that means salvation, okay? So you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. That right there is an event that took place. Do you know your date? The date that you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, right? Most of us remember that moment that we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead. We believed that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. Amen? For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Did you hear that? With the heart, God, I believe that there's a better life for me than the life I'm living. I believe that you paid for my sins upon that cross so I can be in right standing, righteousness with you. I can be in right standing, and with the mouth, confession. Someone say confession. The power of our confession. Why do we confess the prayer of salvation with you right here? Here's our biblical background for that. Confession. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. You are saved. Right? Siri? Siri, send it to the world. Salvation is free. Siri's trying to ask questions. That's awesome. Can't make that up. That's awesome. So, then let's go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Stay with me here. 2, 8, and 9. Listen to this. For by grace you are saved through faith. By grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God. Grace is a gift. Grace is a gift. When you receive the redemptive work that was done upon Calvary's cross, it is a gift. It is a gift. Do you pay for a gift? It's not a trick question. At Christmas, do your kids pay you to give them a gift? Well, maybe they do if they want like an expensive gift. Here, add 50 onto it so I can get the new PlayStation or whatever. But you don't pay for it. A gift is free. It's a gift. So he's saying this. He says, it's not of yourselves, it's a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there are churches that teach you have to earn your salvation. That's not what the Bible teaches. That if you come to church every week, if you pay your tithes every week, if you do your devotionals every day, if you don't curse, don't drink, don't chew, and don't run with those who do, then you're in right standing with God. And that's just not true. Okay, now those things are things we shouldn't do, some of them, and there are things that we should do. But what I'm saying is you can't work for your salvation. You can't do enough works to get saved. It is obtained through believing and confession. That's how it's obtained. And so he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works. Watch this. So we're not saved by works, but we're saved to do good works. Are you hearing this? We're saved to do good works. So we're not saved by works. It's a gift. It's called grace. And it's through faith. Did you see Jesus the day you got saved? Did you see him on the cross dying for your sins? Did you see the nails go through his hands? But you believed it by faith. You came to a point in your life where you tried to work out your life enough. You tried to fill that void. You came to a place where you said, by faith, I want Jesus in my life. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. Are you with me? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I'm gonna say a few theology words for you. Are you ready? There's a few theology words that have to do with your salvation. Number one is justification. Number two is sanctification. And number three is glorification. Okay? Let's start with the first one. Are you all right, class? Yeah. You ready? Some of you are taking notes. You love this. So, justification. Justify, never sinned. You want to remember that? Justification. Justify, never sinned. Justification is the stage of salvation that begins at the moment of faith in the gospel, wherein God declares the sinner to be righteous before him based on the death of Jesus Christ. Everything from your past sins is forgiven when you accept Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Justification. Justify, never sin. Why is it if I never sinned? Because Jesus took your place. He gave you this gift. It should have been us there, but he said, I'm going to go to the cross for you. I'm going to justify you. I'm going to take the penalty for your sins. I'm going to be the ransom. I'm going to be the lamb that for you should have died like a lamb that was whose blood was shed, but I'm going to be the Lamb of God whose blood is shed on your behalf. Justification. So it took faith to believe. Someone say it took faith to believe. Second word is sanctification. Someone say sanctification. So it takes faith to believe, justification, but it also sanctification, it takes faith to obey. What do you mean by that? Sanctification. Sanctification is a progressive work continuing in each of our hearts to be set apart unto the things of God. It is a process. Someone say process. We are being sanctified. We are being sanctified. What does that mean? We are becoming more like Christ. The old ways are gone in the new life. The flesh, we're learning how to deal with our flesh because we're in this flesh body. We're in this world. Our flesh is not saved. Our spirit man is saved. Now we're being sanctified. We're becoming more like Christ. Every time you come through these doors, you're being sanctified. Every time you open your Bible, you're being sanctified. Every time you have prayer time with God, you're being sanctified. You're becoming more like him and less like the world. Are you hearing me today? Is this okay? We're becoming more like him. Justification, sanctification. What's the final stage? It's glorification. We're going to get our glorified bodies one day. We're either by rapture or we're going to go to the grave. But when that happens, we are going to get a glorified body. You ain't going to have to worry about calories no more. Jesus, thank you. Donuts, pizza, marriage supper of the lamb. He's throwing down. Krispy Kremes. Come on, somebody. Chick-fil-A. You know Chick-fil-A is going to be up in there. Like God's like, of course we're going to have Christian chicken up in heaven. And so that's when we become perfected. Now, listen to this. I'm going to stand up for this. When you got saved and asked Jesus to come into your heart and your life, and he forgave your sins, from that point until now, have you been sinless? Some of you are not sure. Just ask your spouse. Just ask your kids when you yelled at the driver today that cut you off. No, that's the process of sanctification. Some people are further along than others. Don't give up on them. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Some people are further along than others. Just because they fell doesn't mean they're not saved. Don't give up on them, because God didn't give up on you and me. So, people ask Todd all the time, what does this scripture mean? Philippians 2:12, keep working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now listen to this. It doesn't mean that we're working to get saved. Here's what this means. Keep working out your own. That's a key word in this verse, own. Pay attention to your own self. Quit trying to judge everybody else's salvation and their walk with the Lord. You're so busy judging everybody else on social media. Oh, did you hear so-and-so? They were at this. They did this. Oh, just quit. Work on your own. Work on your own. Worry about your own. Quit gossiping about everybody else. Oh, I'm preaching up in here. Some of y'all don't like it because you in everybody's biz. You're worried about everybody. Ah, they did this and they did this. And they're a sinner. They're a sinner. No, we're all sinners. We're all a mess. One beautiful mess. That's what Fuel Church is made up of. A beautiful mess. Work out your own salvation, the sanctification process. It's a process that you're working out. Just like you would go to the gym. I was in the gym today working out. I didn't see none of you there except one person. Is he here? He's not here. He did legs too hard. Anyway. Work out, work out, work out. That means every day I'm working on becoming a better follower of Jesus Christ. I'm becoming stronger. I'm working out my spiritual muscles. I'm working out, so I got to go to this spiritual gym every day. If I want to be a stronger Christian, you look at other people, man, they're on fire for God. Oh, man, God's really blessing them. God's doing this. It's because they're working on their salvation. They're working out spiritually. They're eating the word of God. It's a personal devotion to them. It's not just a Sunday check off my list thing. They need Jesus 24/7 every second of every day. Are we going to go crazy up in here? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's not a fear that you're scared of God. That's a fear, which means it's a reverence. Like, God, oh my gosh, I am nothing without you. Like, I need you every second, every day. You are the breath in my lungs every morning I get out. God, I want to please you. Not a fear of if I mess up, he's going to whack me over the head with a Louisville slugger. That's not what that means. It means with fear and trembling that there is a reverence for God and the things of God. That when you go into the time of prayer, whatever that looks like for you, that you're coming in the presence of a holy God. God, I need you in my life. I need you to be a better father, a better husband, a better mother, a better wife. I need you to help me to parent these kids. God, you know I really need you to help me parent these kids. Extra anointing fall on me. Right? Especially if you got teenagers. Lord have mercy. They cost a lot of money. Anyway, I won't tell any personal stories and embarrass my kids, but I'm thinking of a few up here. So, did you guys get that? So it's an event and a process. It's an event because you'll never forget that day. You'll never forget the day you surrendered and you received the gift of grace. Grace, I got what I didn't deserve. Mercy, I didn't get what I deserved. Wow. Did you hear that? Grace, I got what I didn't deserve. I should have been nailed to the cross. It was my sins, not his. You should have been nailed. It was your sins, not his. I got what I didn't deserve. Mercy, I didn't get what I should have deserved. I should have deserved hell. I should have deserved hell for my sins, for the craziness of my life. But because of the cross, he redeemed me. He bought me back. He gave me a fresh start and a new beginning. Come on, somebody. Let's rejoice about that. Oh, man, we are out of time. We had a few more questions, but we are out of time. Did you enjoy that tonight? Yeah, good.
Once again, thanks for joining us for this week's message. If you would like to know more about us, be sure to visit us at thefuelchurch.com. It's also here where if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can click on the online giving tab. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And we hope and pray you have a blessed week.